Thanks, Hannah. Afternoon. I want to thank Tom and Kathy for asking me to be a part of this. It's always a privilege. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I am going to be reading today out of the King James, just so that everybody is aware of that. And we're going to look at two points in the NIV and the ESV. I am not sure that my Bible app here is going to switch over that fast. So does anybody in here have an NIV? Okay, does anybody have an ESV? All right, we're covered. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go down to verse 10. Well, we'll get a running start. We'll go in verse 7. We heard these this morning. Hopefully they're fresh in your mind. But verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." So what we're going to look at this afternoon is discerning of spirits. This phrase really only comes up here in this list. Kind of like really we saw with word of knowledge and word of wisdom, that those phrases aren't like peppered throughout the scriptures. So we look through the scriptures for hallmarks of these things. And we're going to see some of the workings of this throughout the scriptures as we move on this morning. But I want to consider that this chapter 12 is, these are called out as things that we may see as functions within the church. These are things we just heard, some of these things, right, in the church, speaking in tongues and interpretation, word prophecy. We hear that within the realm of a church setting. When we get to things like discerning of spirits, we go, what would that look like in the church? And because of the culture that we live in, because of the age that we live in, because here in the United States, I don't remember how Katie said it this morning, but we've closed all that off. There's no spiritual realm. That's all crazy talk. Everybody's got an explanation for everything. And sometimes we allow that to enter in as well, even though we are a spiritual people. We go to church and we think, well, this is the space that the devil can't enter. That's a great idea. Not true. We do seek to, we don't want to allow the devil to enter the church. That does not mean that he is not going to attempt that. And I don't mean to jump in here at the deep end, but I want to get this out of the way first. This discerning of spirits is not just you out at the grocery store and someone comes up foaming at the mouth and you've got to figure out what to do. This is you walk in on a Sunday morning and in the beautiful church setting, somebody is speaking words from Satan. And you have the ability and the authority. You have this amazing aspect of this spirit that allows you to not think that that's from God. You are able in that moment to discern. How could we ever do that? We can't do that by our flesh. That's okay. We're not flesh people any longer. That's not where we reside. We are spiritual people that have flesh. And so as we consider some of these things and don't shut yourself off in your thinking that it's only speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy that we're going to see within the church setting. These are manifestations that are the outpouring of the Spirit in our lives. And you are going to be a spiritual person at the grocery store, you're a spiritual person at work, and you're a spiritual person when you show up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or to a weekend like this. Spirits are subtle. They're sneaky. You know, the spiritual realm is not, how do we think about this? It's with when Jesus Christ was walking, all these records in the gospel, we have examples of people that bring people to him and say, my child is afflicted of a spirit. Did that parent have the spirit to know that? I don't think so. But you see that these examples that are brought are like grievously tormented. Children foaming at the mouth. The man running out of the tombs that he's breaking shackles off of him. The natural world can look at that and be like, ooh, that is not natural. It's the spirit. There's got to be something else there. So, you know, those are maybe the ones that we think of as being like more obvious. But this discerning of spirits, this is the, you know, like I said, we show up to church and you look at me and go, man, Marta's really having an off day. Everything she says is just weird. Are you checking in to see, maybe I'm being afflicted by a spirit? You know, the lady at work, that everything that she says is, you're like, that is a lie. Why are you always lying about nothing? Have you checked in? Maybe it's a spirit. We have the ability within this Holy Spirit life to discern that. Your sister or brother of Christ that's stuck in a rut of depression. The person who can't seem to get, you know, well from the thing that's afflicting them. Have we checked in? Or do we have these blinders up that say, okay, but spirits can't affect our brothers and sisters in Christ. Spirits aren't sneaky like that. This is something else. We'll put a different label on it. Okay. But wait a second. So my concern then is, then we start seeing spirits everywhere. And every time somebody looks at you the wrong way, well, they probably have a spirit. Every time things don't go your way at work, that boss has a spirit. I work for Hannah, by the way. You know, let's remember what's already been shared this morning as we get into this topic, that, you know, we don't want to become a people who are just slapping labels on things and saying, well, I know there's a spiritual realm. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. I didn't like that. That's a spirit. No, this is a spiritual discernment. This is a pouring out of the spirit that you have. And as we walk in harmony with our God via this spirit that he has given, you're going to get this information. You're just going to know. It's not going to be nebulous or weird or, oh, I don't know, that person's behavior is really weird. That's a spirit. Maybe it's not a spirit. Maybe they actually have another issue that needs to be healed. I don't know. But I do know, because Katie told us this morning, or maybe it was Claire, because literally already I can't remember which of you said which. Thank you for walking by the Spirit. That the knowledge or wisdom that God gives can't be determined on my own. I can't determine these things by my flesh. But I don't have to constrain God. I don't have to get into a situation and be like, oh, I just got to come up with an answer and I can squeeze something out here. This is not, we're walking. We're being led by the Spirit. So just as our wonderful ladies were led to stand up and manifest, we're led by the Spirit in these topics that get a little, where people are like, ooh, I'm happy to speak in tongues, not so happy to see spirits. We are spiritual people. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 18. We're kind of jumping in the middle of a train of thought here, but this is talking about our Lord. In verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Love the King James. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I don't know how much actually needs to be said about that. Consider that these words are for you. This is where we dwell as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight because of the blood and the completed work of Christ. Go down to verse 26, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 25. Now talking about Paul, this is Paul speaking. He's the one writing this letter. And he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What God has completed in Christ, or by Christ, has been given to you. Remember that we saw that in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily? Well, our lives are in Christ. It's Christ in you. It's God in Christ in you. There's going to be some newness to this life. My life's not going to just be flesh and bone anymore, because I'm not just flesh and bone anymore. In verse 28, it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You have been taken out of this world where you were just you, and you have been now included into the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, and all the fullness of God and all the fullness of Christ you are now a part of. So as you are walking out as a life in partnership with God, as a member of Christ's body, we are going to, these spiritual things, you're just going to be led into. Do I have to look at somebody's behavior and decide whether or not there's a spirit at work here? No, I can't do that. But as walking, being led by the Spirit, you're going to have that information that you need at the right moment. You're just going to have it. Isn't that incredible? We can trust that. This inclination of the Spirit, the tapping on the shoulder, the any way you want to like can kind of consider that, just that being led along. That's all I think of is like, I'm just walking with God. He's going to show me what I need to see in the right moment. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to try to make things more exciting and start seeing spirits everywhere where there's nothing to be seen. But I can be ready to see spirits everywhere if that's what I need to see. We walk in partnership with God, not at odds, not trying to tell God how we think this life should look, and also not trying to prove something that's not there. You know, Paul talks about here that he sees this power working in him mightily as he's laboring, preaching the gospel. That's what he says, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This power accompanies the preaching of the gospel. If you guys know what a word study is, all you do is you take your Bible app and you plug in power, the word power, and you do a word study of the New Testament and the word power showing up, almost every single occurrence accompanies the preaching of the gospel. We are not sent out to preach an empty word or a vain word. We preach a word of power with power. That's what was promised, that signs, miracles, and wonders would follow them as they preach. And that's what we see as we walk out on these things as well. We have power to offer. I have a list of those things. If you really don't know how to do a word study, you can come talk to me afterwards and I'll teach you. But also I will show you the list if you want to. Let's go to, you know what? And another point too is just that Paul's talking about his ministry here. Paul was an apostle. I'm not an apostle. I don't have the same ministry as Paul. But am I called to live a life in partnership with God? Absolutely. Am I a member of the body of Christ? Yes, I am. I don't have to be called to be an apostle to expect signs, miracles, and wonders to follow as I walk out and speak the gospel freely. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So this power and authority came with a commission, didn't it? There was something to do with this power and authority. And also this preaching of that the kingdom of God, that came with power and authority. Do you see how interlinked these two things are? And if you go down, I'm so sorry. In verse 10, it says that they returned and they told him all that they had done. I think it was back in Matthew that this record shows up in a couple of the different books, and I apologize. I thought I had written down the one that I wanted. When the disciples return, though, and at a different point, or maybe it's the same point in just a different aspect of this record, Jesus also sends out 70 and gives them power. And he tells them the same thing, preach the gospel. Or I'm sorry, not the gospel, preach that the kingdom of God has come near to you. When they all return, they're rejoicing that even the devils are subject unto his name. And Jesus tells them, that's great, but don't rejoice in that. You rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That's the greater rejoicing. We're not given this power and authority to feel special or powerful. We're not. You're given this power and authority and this ability to discern spirits, and we're going to see an ability to cast out spirits because your names are written in heaven, because you've received salvation. These guys just had the promise of that being coming. We've received that. This, you have Holy Spirit. You are part of the body of Christ. What we rejoice in is that. We rejoice that when Christ comes back, we're going to be there. We're going to be glorified. All of the amazing things that our hope embodies, we rejoice in that. And here, while we are still here, we walk freely and we give freely. He does say that in Matthew, that freely you've received, freely give. You did not pay for this power. You didn't pay for the ability to preach the gospel. We've received it freely. You're not in Satan's kingdom anymore. But you were. And their people still are. You have power and authority to take them out. We're going to look at a record that's a little bit hard. You guys want to do that? You want to ask some questions? See if we can check something out here. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to go down to verse 14. We're going to look at this same record, and it is the same record. We're going to look at this in three of the Gospels. And in each one, we're going to learn something different about this same thing that happened. And we're going to read this in the King James and see what we see here. So chapter 9, verse 14. It says, "And when he, Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pines away. And I spake to your disciples, and they should that they should cast him out, and they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." Okay, I want you guys to put yourself here. You know, as the Lord, you see some people talking, you go over and they're like, "Oh, Jesus is here." And, you know, everyone gets all riled up, and he goes, "What are you guys talking about?" And this guy comes forward, and he says, "Oh, my son has a spirit, and I brought him to your disciples that they would cast it out, and they couldn't do it." And when the kid sees the Lord, he starts, what does it say? He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And the Lord's response is, he asked the Father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" Okay, I love our Lord, because my immediate response would probably be like, whoa. You know, but the Lord responds by talking to the Father. He says, "How long ago? How long has this been going on?" And he said, "Of a child." I don't know how old this person was. I don't know if him saying "of a child" means that he was now an adult. I don't think so, based on the rest of the record. I think this is just a way to say he's been here for a little while. "And oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I had a really great exhortation prepared for you guys about preparing your life to walk with God based on prayer and fasting. It was fantastic. Then I did a little bit more work. And it turns out that this word fasting looks like it was actually added very early on, like super early on. If you take the word fasting out of here, one of the commentators, like works that I read, basically said that they believe it was added because of the first century church's like zeal for fasting. But if we take that word out and really believe, like, pretty much most of the other translations are going to agree that this word fasting was not originally there. Who had the ESV? Okay. Okay. One of you guys go ahead and read that last verse there, verse 29 in the ESV. Mm-hmm. Who had the NIV? Joe, do you want to read that one real loud?
He replied,
"Yeah." So in the more modern translations, they go ahead and just remove it. Those of us who grew up reading the King James, or who still prefer to read the King James, this throws you off. You could read this and think that there's this whole life of preparation needed to be able to cast out certain types of spirits. But ultimately, what Jesus is telling them here is, you needed to ask. They couldn't cast them out. They could have asked God. What did Claire teach us this morning? If you only have the faith to speak in tongues and not to interpret, what can you do? You can pray. You can, remember, we're walking in partnership with God. We're walking as we're led by the Spirit. This is not Marta the exorcist out here getting rid of devil spirits, I can't get this one. Okay, we'll come back to that one later. Like, no, we are walking in partnership with God as a member of the body of Christ. You come up against a spirit and it doesn't obey immediately when you tell it to get out, then you ask God. Because Jesus Christ addressed the man's unbelief, didn't he? Could the disciples have done that? I think that they could have. Jesus told them this kind didn't come out unless you asked. Go to Matthew, please. Chapter 17. We're going to go to verse 14. Okay, we're going to read this same record again. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to the disciples, thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, oh, you got to ask. Nope, not in this record. We're going to see a different aspect of this now. What Jesus said unto them is, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Oh, but this one does say, howbeit this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. I guess it wasn't really the disciples' unbelief, it was the dad's. Actually, this whole verse, 21, was added. You want to read the very end of, actually, I'm not going to have you guys read that because it gets confusing. But in both the ESV and the NIV, there is no verse 21 to this chapter. There is a verse 22 to keep things like correct so it doesn't throw off the entire book of Matthew. It's just missing because it was added. So in this record, Jesus tells them it was because of their unbelief that they couldn't cast the spirit out. Well, I thought it was the Father's unbelief. Well, you know what? Sometimes there's a lot of information that we need as we are walking, and yet our God is faithful to supply. Did the Lord withhold information from the disciples when they asked him? No. Are we part of the Lord's body? Yes. Can you trust that as you are walking out and you encounter something weird? These disciples had already been casting out spirits. They had already been going to town, preaching about the kingdom coming and seeing, Lord, even the devils respond to your name. They knew the authority that they had. And yet when they came up against something that they didn't understand, they went to Jesus and said, we don't know what happened. And, you know, good. They asked. They got the answer that they needed. And we have the records to see sometimes there's more involved than just a standard law. Like, this is how it's going to work every single time. It's not. That's okay, because you're with your Heavenly Father. You're secure in that body of Christ. You know that it's God in Christ in you. You have power. You have authority. You have a discerning of spirit's ability to know what's going on in a situation. And if something goes weird and you don't know how to respond to that, you get to ask your Heavenly Father right then in that moment and expect to receive the information that you need, because our God is faithful. And just because this is so fantastic, it comes up again in Luke. So we saw in Mark a record of the Father. He had some unbelief that needed to be addressed. We saw in Matthew that the disciples had some unbelief that needed to be addressed. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. And we're going to go down to verse 38. Because whose unbelief is left in this story? Let's look at it. In verse 38, it says, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech you, look upon my child, for he's my only child. And lo, a spirit takes him. And he suddenly cries out, and it tears him, and that he foams again. And bruising him, he hardly departs from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. I'm sorry, now we're in verse 41. Luke 9, 41. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Okay, so now in the story, this is where the disciples come and say, why didn't we cast him out? So let's see what happens in the record of Luke. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. So we heard about the Father's unbelief. We heard about the disciples' unbelief. And now we have Jesus, and his response to this situation is to prophesy about his coming crucifixion. This record occurs directly after the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus Christ had no doubts about who he was and what he was here for. He stands with authority and power, and everybody else's unbelief around him does not change his power and authority here in this situation. He works with the man and gets him to a point of believing. He works with his disciples to help their belief. But when it comes to our Lord, he has no unbelief. He casts that spirit out, and then he tells them, I'm going to be crucified into the hands of men. And it says they understood not his saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. But we know the whole story, right? Jesus Christ knew what this authority was for. He had just, if you're not familiar with the Mount of Transfiguration, I just gave you three different places in the scriptures you can read about it. Jesus Christ received confirmation from God that who he was and what he was doing. He had no doubts. We can actually walk with that same confidence. It's God in Christ in you. Do you understand that you have a purpose here, that your life is hid in Christ? That as Christ walked with authority and without fear and without any sort of trying to prove himself to anybody, his purpose was to crush the works of Satan and fulfill the works of his Father. I want to go to one more spot with you guys. If you'll hang in with me, we're just going to go to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 22. This is a different record of the Lord being confronted with someone possessed with a devil. In verse 22, it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." How did the guy know that he was healed? He could speak. He could see. He was healed. That spirit was gone. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Jesus Christ came to spoil the devil's house. And with power and authority, he bound Satan and spoiled his goods. What do you think Satan's goods are? It's you and me. And he doesn't have us anymore. And we get to walk out with power and authority, understanding that our Father is going to give us every step of the way that we can reach into Satan's kingdom and deliver people out of it. This is not a weak word. This is a powerful word. This gospel word is accompanied by signs, miracles, and wonders to get people out of Satan's kingdom. It's not to show off. It's not to make you look special or spiritual. It's also not to make you uncomfortable and wish you didn't have to do these things. It's walking in harmony, in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, with the God who has rescued you in his great love out of Satan's hands and placed you into his glorious kingdom of his Son, where you now dwell as part of the members of the body of Christ. And this is part of the commission that we receive. This is part of that Holy Spirit life that we walk in, is you now have the ability, I don't always say it like that, to discern spirits, to not be pushed around by Satan's kingdom, to deliver people from the hand of Satan. And all of it is to the glory of God. I'm going to pray to close out, actually, and then we'll be done. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much, God, that you have given this power to us and that it is all by Christ's work and it is not by our own. And I thank you, Father, that you are always faithful, that your word declares such great and wonderful things, and yet we can believe them because they are true and good. And I thank you, Father, for each of our hearts as we consider these things, that you help us and continue to lead us in our understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.